If you have your Bible, turn to the book of Colossians, Colossians chapter 3. Today we begin a new series that we're calling We, Not Me. Pronouns are an interesting thing, aren't they? We use them all the time, right? Sometimes it's, you've been around someone, nobody in the room, but other people that aren't here, where they always talk about I, right? I did this, I did this, I did this. Or a better pronoun oftentimes is, well, I don't know what they're doing over there. I don't know what they're doing down at the church. Sometimes we use the pronoun me. We don't say that out loud, but that's how we think, isn't it? That this isn't what I prefer. This is not what's good for me. This is not all those things. And we're going to do a little three-week series, really just thinking about our mission as a church family. Why in the world do we exist as a church? You notice in your bulletin this morning, we've been in a process of trying to really articulate better from a graphical standpoint, from a logo, from an identity standpoint, who are we? And one of the things that I love about our church family, I know I've not been around here a long time, but November will be 5 years that you guys have tolerated with me, and that sounds like a long time for some of you. One of the things I love about our church family is the manner in which we love people. How generously we love. And so as we begin to pray through, really, Lord, how do we articulate best who we are as a church and really the calling that you've placed upon us? I believe God has called us as a church family to generously love people at home and around the world toward a growing relationship with Christ. Now, I would love to say that we can grow, love people at home and around the world into a relationship with Christ. But you know, at the end of the day, we can't control what people choose to do, can we? But we want to do all we can to love people toward a relationship with Christ, moving them one step closer, wherever they might be, in their relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, man, for you and for me, what an incredible calling. What an incredible vision. What an incredible mission. So today we're going to talk about just generously loving people. What's that look like? How do we even begin to wrap our minds and our hearts around that from when it comes to what God says in His Word? Next week we're going to look at what does it look like to love people at home? Hello? Turn to the, if you're sitting next to family, just turn to them and go, you know, sometimes you are hard to love. We're going to talk about what does it look like to love people at home. And then the third week, we're going to look at what does it look like to love people around the world. Now, here's what it's building towards. October the 27th, that evening, we have our Fall Fest. That morning, we're having Dr. John Avent, used to be the pastor at First Baptist Church Concord here in the Knoxville area. He's going to be here this morning. He's going to be sharing an incredibly evangelistic message. So I want to invite you, I want to challenge you, even now, begin praying about whom you might be called to invite to be with us on that particular day. Because I believe God wants to reach people with the gospel, and we're going to have a great harvest on that day, I believe. And so you pray in and you pray towards that end. So this We, Not Me series is rooted in our mission as a church family. That word generous or generously, man, I love it. It carries with it the idea of just being unselfish, or to be liberal in or abundant in how we love people. Now, it's easy to identify that. It's probably easier to identify when someone's not doing it, right? We know what it looks like to not generously love people. We're stingy. I can't think of all the antonyms off the top of my head. We're selfish. We think about who? Me. But our calling as a people is to think about we. So a couple application points. You see them in your notes right there. I want to invite you to simply, over the course of the next 3 weeks, begin praying daily. Lord, how can I generously love people today? How do you want me to generously love those that I come into contact with today? Not tomorrow, not yesterday, but today. How do you want me to love people today? I believe that God is waiting and ready for you and me to join him in what he's doing in the lives of people. And that begins when we simply love people in the moment. And then the second thing to pray every day is simply this: Lord, give me the courage and the power to love like you want me to love. I don't know about you, but I have a hard time sometimes loving people because I'm selfish and I'm stingy and I'm self-consumed and I'm distracted and I'm busy and I'm all those things that you can fill in the blank, whatever you might be, that might prevent you from generously loving people. So just pray, God, would you give me the courage to do it? And would you give me the power by your Spirit to indeed do it in our lives? Colossians chapter 3, I invite you to stand as we read God's word this morning. Let's begin reading in verse 12, and we'll read down to verse 17. That'll be our text for today, and we'll learn what Paul says about how we generously love people. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called, in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And then that verse that all of us know some version of if you've been by church. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Would you pray with me? Father, we cannot begin to love people apart from you. Father, we can be generous. We can do a lot of things. But Father, we can't love people apart from you. Father, your word even tells us we love because you first loved us. And Father, I pray today, Father, that you would be our teacher and our guide by the power of your Spirit. I pray you would speak to us through your word, not the words of any man, but Father, that your Spirit would resonate in our hearts, Father, that we would lead us to places where we simply obey you. And Father, we give you thanks right ahead of time. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you so much. You can be seated. I love this particular passage. Very familiar text. As we think about, Paul is revealing several articles of clothing that we are to put on. How many of you thought about what you were going to wear this morning? How many of you gave no thought? Amen, amen, amen. Typically, we have to at least think through some articles of clothing that we need. Some of you probably should have thought a little more. But as God's people, there are some articles of clothing, if you will, that Paul says we are to put on. That's why he says here, put on as God's chosen ones. What are some of those things that we are to put on? And now that we are to walk in this new life, if you're here today and Jesus Christ has transformed your life, he's forgiven you of your sin, and you've committed to walk in his ways now, turning from your way of living, and now you're turning towards his way of living, repenting of that sin in your heart, God's forgiven you of your sin. Because of that, now as God's chosen people, we're to walk in a new life. So what's that look like for us? I want to share with you at least four ways that we generously love people as articulated here by Paul in what we wear, not just simply what we do. The first thing that generous love, loving others, demonstrates God's character. The first thing Paul talks about are characteristics of who God is. Nova and I went, as I mentioned, with our worship, some of our folks in our worship ministry to New York City. New York City last weekend. We had an incredible time. We ate some incredible food. I'll tell you about that. That's other illustrations coming later to be continued. However, one of the things that I noticed, it's a busy place. Subways, Ubers, restaurants, Times Square. I mean, you name it. wherever we were, people were always in a hurry. On the subway, you know what most people do on the subway? Some sleep. Most of them? Forty minutes. Thinking, what kind of battery life do they have on their phones? Here's the challenge. If we're not careful, we get so wrapped up in us and me and our lives that we don't demonstrate the character of God. We demonstrate our character. And notice what Paul says here. He shares some character qualities of a Lord that we should put on as we live our lives. If we're going to generously love people, I think we have to do these things. Number one, he says, put on compassion. Compassionate hearts, it says. If you have a King James Version, I like this. It says, bowels of mercy. Anybody have King James? Anybody? Four people. Is that what it says? Bowels of mercies? Yeah. Bowels of mercies. Why? Because early on in the Greek language, this word for compassion, splachnon, just turn your neighbor and go splachnon. That's the word. And so what that means is it talks about like in your gut. You ever felt something in your gut? And you just, not what you ate, by the way. I'm talking about like the seat of your emotions. It's a compassionate feeling, and you're like, oh, you ever hurt so badly for someone, it just hit you in the gut. That's what it says here. It literally refers to the stomach. A compassionate heart is a tender heart. We're to put on compassionate hearts because God has a tender heart towards His people. Did you know that? God's not out necessarily to get you. He wants to reveal to you the tenderness of His heart towards you. Compassionate hearts, He says. And when we generously love people, we demonstrate the compassion He has for folks. Compassionate hearts. But the second thing He talks about is then He says compassionate hearts and kindness. This is not a natural human quality. It's not. We're not naturally kind. I know we live in East Tennessee and everybody's nice, but that is not natural. Nothing in us is kind. Turn to your neighbor and go, you know, you ain't kind. Our human tendency, listen, you think about it now, our human tendency is to respond harshly in words and in actions. That's our tendency. Kindness is not natural. This original word, now I know we're Baptists, so please just take a deep breath. I'm a teetotaler, so I'm not saying anything other than that. But here's what it meant in the original language. It was used to describe a wine that had been mellowed with age. And in that mellowing process, it removed the harshness from it. That's the word kindness. Jesus used the same word of Himself in Matthew chapter 11 when He was describing His yoke. He says that my yoke is what? Easy. But you know what word that is? It's the same word for kind. My yoke is kind. Interesting. Romans chapter 2, Paul says like this, it's the kindness of God that leads us to repentance. We're to put on compassionate hearts if we're going to demonstrate the character of God. We must put on kindness, and I have to put it on, don't you? It's not natural for me. And then he says, humility. Whew, that's easy. We, not me, really is the epitome of humility. If we're me-focused, we can't be humble. Someone once said, you know, humility is thinking less of yourself. And actually, they went on to say this, humility is not thinking of yourself at all. He says, put on humility. The Greeks, now the New Testament is written in Greek, right? But the Greeks never used this word to describe themselves. Isn't that interesting? It's never written in any Greek literature where they use this word to describe themselves. And it's interesting how so many times in the New Testament, Paul or whomever it might be, whatever writer it is, speaks of humility. It was that if they were pushing in the face of a culture that was me-centered of saying, no, be humble. Be humble. It's more than just a hashtag. Humility walks, I believe, in an awareness of who God is, of what He's done. And who we are. Put on humility. And then he says meekness. You could translate the word gentleness. It's kind of the same word in our vocabulary. Meekness is not weakness, by the way. Jesus was meek and gentle, but he was anything but weak. Meekness is strength under control. Meekness in our lives is about having the strength and the power of the Holy Spirit controlling us and how we live. That's how we live meek and gentle lives. When our daughter was growing up, middle school and even into high school, if you have girls, you understand like the middle school attitude. Anybody? You're currently struggling through it, I know, but I used to do something, and I can do it today, and Abby would eye roll immediately if I do it. But whenever she would be a little edgy or be a little sassy, I would put my hand on her face and I would go, soft, just be soft. We're to be gentle, meek, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility. Put on these things. Why? Because it demonstrates the character of God, and that's how we generously love people. The second thing he says is generously loving others imitates God's patience. Imitates God's patience. Look at verses 12 and 13. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, kindness, compassion, hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and I know, be careful about praying for patience because the Lord will do what? Yeah, He'll give it to you, right? Patience. There's an old word, King James, I think, uses the word long-suffering. Meaning what? Yeah, to suffer long. That's exactly right. That's what being patient with people is, though. In particular, it's in the face of insult or injury. That's when patience is most tested. It's easy to generously love people when they're nice, isn't it? Man, when folks are nice and they're kind and they're gentle, you're like, oh, I just love you. But when they're mean and they're selfish and they're unkind and they're ungodly, it's hard to be patient, isn't it? I'm just talking about getting out of the parking lot. When people are angry and they're fussing, man, it's hard to be patient with people. And he says, be patient, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. When we are patient and when we bear with one another, here's what it says. When we love people in that manner, then it reflects and imitates God. Peter says it like this. He is patient toward us, not wanting anyone to perish, but all to come to what? Repentance. Aren't you grateful for the patience of God? Aren't you thankful that He's been patient with you? Aren't there people in your life that it's hard being patient with? Wives? That was not clearly not funny. Church family, we must imitate the Lord Jesus Christ through our patience with one another. But then he goes on to say, bearing with one another, forgiving each other, just as the Lord has forgiven you, so also you must forgive. What a great imitation of God and who He is. Forgiveness, by the way, has never been popular. It's never been on the top 10 list anywhere. Generously loving people is not about putting up with people, by the way. It's not about just tolerating them. Generously loving people is about forgiving them for whatever it is that they have done. And when it's a struggle, Paul says, just remember the incredible forgiveness of Christ, of what He's done for you. We sang Living Hope, right? Man, what a great prayer. That we might be a living hope to those near us. I'll ask two more things. How are we doing? Oh, good. You're still awake. Verse 14. Generously loving others authenticates God's love. Authenticates God's love. Look what it says in verse 14. And let the and above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. I'm pro weddings. I love being a part of weddings. I've been a part of a lot. A passage oftentimes read at weddings is 1 Corinthians 13. How many of you had 1 Corinthians 13 read at your wedding? Just go ahead and raise your hand. Four people. Okay. Clearly, it was before your time. Comes down to the end of 1 Corinthians 13, that little section there, verses 1 through 8 and 9. Then it says that faith, hope, and love remain. But the greatest of these is what? Love. It's interesting that Paul uses that same understanding here. And above all these, above all what? Above all compassion, above all kindness, above all humility, above all meekness, above all patience, above all forgiveness, above all of these things, put on what? Love. Because God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him would not perish, but what? Have everlasting life. I love this passage, personally, because Paul is writing, once again, as if someone's getting dressed. He says, put on all these clothes, and then before you walk out the door, don't forget your belt. Now, some of you have two forms of protection this morning. You have suspenders and a belt. I've seen you. There must have been like some tragedy that happened in your life, some trauma. And you're like, I'm not going to have that happen again. But it's as if he says, listen, most importantly, above all these other things, put on love. What's interesting is, in the original language, this is the command. Matter of fact, in this particular passage, it's one of the primary commands that we have here. And the thrust of the command, it's continuous action. Which means this, you put on love, and then you keep doing what? You keep putting it on. You keep loving. And you have to keep putting it on. Because if you don't put it on, then we become selfish, and all these other things that we do can be self-seeking. Because if I'm compassionate towards someone, maybe they'll notice and say, oh, look at you. If I post like a humble brag on Facebook, then somebody might comment, oh, you're so sweet. Am I at lunch by myself? Do we read the same stuff? I have a friend of mine. He's a pastor. And he's a humble bragger. You know these? Oh, just so humbled that we baptized 32 yesterday. Hello? It's not about preachers. It's you too, by the way. Not you. Those other people that post on whatever it is that... Let's just keep back to the text. Clearly, I have struck a nerve and you're not... You're done. Listen to what Paul says. Keep putting on love. Because as we put on love, it leads us to generously love people. And as we generously love people, the love of God is authenticated in how we're living. He says, put on, above all else, put on love, because it binds these together in perfect harmony. I love that, don't you? I'm not really good at picking out clothes. Nova says that I tend to dress like a crayon, right? Gray pants, gray shirt, gray socks, gray shoes. I grew up on Garanimals. It coordinated. It was just simple. In the same way that I need help with my wardrobe, boy, do I need God's help in what I put on. Don't you? Put on love and keep putting it on. The last thing, we're done. I think generously loving others illustrates God's word. It illustrates God's word. Look what he says in 15 and 17. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, the singing of psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thanksgiving and with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. I love the fact that when Paul concludes this passage, now he shares for the child of God who's put off the old self, for the child of God who says, you know what, I was living just for me, and I've put that off because of Christ and what he's done for me, and now I'm putting on the new self. I'm putting on compassion. I'm putting on kindness. I'm putting on meekness. I'm putting on patience. I'm putting on humility. I'm putting on all these things that God's forgiveness, all these things. I'm keeping putting on love. Why? Because now I'm walking in a new life. I'm walking in a new way. So the challenge for me, and I don't know about you, is, man, is my life more characterized by this or this? Am I characterized more by the new self or the old self? Because as we generously love people, it simply illustrates God's word to others. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Is God's word dwelling in your soul? Man, what an incredible challenge. Generously loving people is not about just being nice to people. It's rooted in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because God demonstrated his own love for us in this, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Man, am I illustrating that in the manner in which I live? As I put on love, am I allowing it to permeate everything that I do? And then he says, and as a result of that, the peace of Christ. Aren't you thankful for His peace? Man, if you're here today and you don't have peace, might I invite you to experience His forgiveness? It will wash over you in a way that you can't understand. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. And then whatever we do, whether in word or deed, what we say or what we do, let it be glorious before the Father. I think generously loving people illustrates God's Word, the gospel, to every person that we come in contact with, inside the church walls and outside. Both and. It's not one or the other. The Bible says that God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. And if you're here today and you never placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, asking Him to forgive you of your sin, repenting of your sin, turning from your ways towards His, might I implore you, don't leave here today without settling that decision. Maybe you're here today, and maybe as we look through these things of how to generously love people and put things on, maybe God just convicted you of, man, I've been living really for me and not for what He's done. Maybe you want to come and just pray at these steps. Just simply lay that down before the Lord and say, God, I can just confess that to you. Maybe you want to kneel right where you are. Maybe for you, you're ready to take the next step and really generously love people by serving. There's a little board right over here. It's going to be in the way here in just a minute. But here's a great action step for you. Our kids' ministry continues to grow. Many of you know that. We have some incredible volunteers that have been serving once a month for, I think, ever. You know what we want to invite you to do? We want to invite you to simply begin serving in kids' ministry so we can move to an 8-week rotation instead of a 4-week. You say, what would that look like? It would be you serving in this hour, kids' church hour, once every 8 weeks. Wouldn't that be incredible? Kids volunteers, what do you say? So maybe your action step today is simply just to say, you know what, I'll serve. I could be 1 out of 8 weeks. Generously loving others is loving kids so moms and dads can worship and understand the Word of God. Maybe you're ready to make this church your church. I want to invite you to stand. We're going to close our word of prayer today, and then we're going to have this time of invitation. Our gracious Father, we are Father, our words just fail us when we think about just the depth of our love and gratefulness for You. Father, while we were dead in our sin, Father, You came and You gave. Father, I pray for every person in this place today. I pray for that man or woman that may be here that's never trusted You as their Lord and Savior. Father, I pray for others that are here today that, Father, You're just dealing with in a very personal and real way about areas of their lives that they've just not fully yielded to You. Father, our prayer today is that because of the depth of Your love for us, Father, that You would just lead us to places of just loving people. Father, we give You thanks for that in Christ's name.